It's a gospel on the radio talk show. A show about dreams and visions and a church that is indeed triumphant, alive, and well.
For the church, triumphant, is alive and well.
We gather together today to proclaim victory. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. That's the work of our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the work of the ministry of the precious Holy Spirit of God. We welcome all of our wonderful radio audience, Tallahassee, and all around the world. It's Resurrection Day. It's a day that we refer to as Easter Sunday. It's a very, very important day for those who believe, because we believe that God sent His only begotten Son to this earth to become flesh and dwell among us so that He could lead us to victory. Victory over death. Victory that we know that when our course is finished on this earth, we will be forever in heaven with God. And I'm so thankful. And I do appreciate you tuning in today. This is the Gospel on the Radio talk show. I'm Pastor Jack King. I am your host. And like I say, today is all about victory. Today is all about celebration, glorious resurrection power, and the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary as the sacrificial lamb. And there, His precious blood was shed, that it could be sprinkled on the mercy seat of God in heaven, that once and for all, the issue of our sin would be dealt with. And it's a simple, simple thing just to say, Father God, forgive me of my sins for Jesus' sake and because of the blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross. So thankful. God has so blessed us in such a wonderful, powerful way. And we praise Him for His blood.
I'm trusting the blood.
Trusting the blood.
Trusting the blood.
There may be those who don't understand a song like that. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast, the name of the song was simply, I'm Trusting the Blood. You say, well, what does that mean? What does that represent? Well, it's simply this. Scripture tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In all of the sacrifices that took place in Israel during all those years, they all pointed toward the act of redemption that was done when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Messiah, went to the cross of Calvary. And there He sacrificed Himself. Father God allowed all this to happen. As Scripture tells us, where God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the victory. This is what we celebrate today, everlasting life, because sin has been dealt with. The way of escape has been made for us. Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. It is a glorious day. But Easter Sunday, for all those of us who believe, is an exciting time. Because I believe in a lot of ways, it's a time of renewal. It's a time of recommitment to say, this is what I believe. This is what I have accepted in my life, that I am a sinner and that I am in need of God's forgiveness and God's grace. I'm always intrigued as I'm reading through Scripture, which, thank God, this is something that He's given me to do. And I read about this woman who came to where Jesus was in the house of Simon the leper. And it says that she came in with a bottle of alabaster, a box of called alabaster box. Anyway, she came in with this very, very expensive oil. And she came in to anoint Jesus Christ. And not many in the room understood what this was all about, what she was doing, what she was signifying. And, of course, there was the greedy lot that thought, well, this ointment would be better spent if we took it and sold it and used that money to give to the poor. And, of course, Jesus told her, said, you're always going to have the poor with you. But she's come to anoint me for my burial. And now you can imagine how that must have played within the crowd. I mean, here's a man in his 30s talking about dying and being buried. But the truth of the matter is that it had already been stated in the coming of the wise men when Jesus was a baby. They brought the embalming fluid. They brought the myrrh, which also represented, spoke of his death and the blood that would be shed. So all of these things, they speak. But that woman, she understood it. And there are many who will go to church today. And thank God for that. And I'm happy that people go to church on Easter. A lot of times they don't go to church any other time. They go to church on Easter, and I'll take it. Because many people don't understand. They really don't understand what this Resurrection Day is all about. And perhaps today something will be heard. Something will speak to a heart that will cause a person to come to a true understanding of what Easter is truly all about. When we talk about victory, when we talk about resurrection, we talk about finding peace in our hearts with God and finding that true reality of eternal life. And perhaps maybe somebody who's never heard that before, or maybe they've heard it and they didn't understand it, that it will come to a place of understanding in their heart today. And there would be a person who would come to Christ as Lord and Savior today. And that would be my prayer. And Father God, I pray that even now, that there would be people who will go to the house of God today. And perhaps they haven't been there in a long, long time, but God, that you'll speak to them, that you'll come into their heart, that you will cause them to have eyes become open that have been closed because they had not spiritual revelation. But the Spirit of God would minister, and the Spirit of God would flow in our churches all across the world. And there would be many, many people today who would give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing is that we're living in very difficult times. I don't know that most people even understand that. But we're living in a time of war and conflict. And we're living in a time where the economic system is beginning to crumble. And societies taken over by gangs and thugs, people fleeing for their lives. That sounds Bible to me. That sounds like something you'd read about in the Scripture. But it's true. And it's what's happening. And if there ever was a time when people need to go to church and turn their hearts to God, now is the time. Now is the time. Because the uncertainty of everything that's around you. And you don't know. You don't know when things could happen. And we read about even now in a terrible tragedy there in Maryland. I mean, people who one moment were thinking something totally different, And all of a sudden, their lives drastically change. Well, that's reality of life. And that's why it's so important that we know, that if we cease to breathe at this very moment, that our next step would be forever in heaven with God. And we step into eternity with our Heavenly Father because of the blood that Jesus shed on that cruel cross. It's the eighth day, so I'll never get over the cross.
Now and forever.
Get over the cross. See, I'm one of those that sometimes I ask people, and most time I get positive responses. But if I see somebody that's wearing a beautiful cross, I'll ask them. I said, "Does that mean anything to you, or is it just decoration?" And there have been a few who have told me, "I just think it's pretty," or whatever. But there have been those who said, yes, it has great meaning to me. And I believe that if you wear a cross, it should. And the thing is that the cross is a tremendous symbol to us who are Christians. And I have crosses in my yard at my house, and we put them up one time for something that was going on, and I just never took them down. Because I look at them and I think about, this tells everybody who passes here where we stand in our faith because of our commitment to Jesus Christ. This is Easter Sunday, and this is the Gospel on the Radio talk show. I'm Pastor Jack King. I am your host, and have been now, let's see here, 1,168 shows today since 2002. And let's see, four different radio stations, several different formats we've been through over all these years. We went from AM to FM, and now we're on podcast. And many of you are listening on the podcast, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm glad that you do. And just keep in mind that you won't get the music on the podcast because, well, that's just not possible. And so when you hear a song like we just played, I'll Never Get Over the Cross, that's basically the lyrics of the song. And also, I want you to know that I am a pastor. I am the pastor of Freedom Road Christian Ministry. Our location is 720 Capitol Circle Northeast here in Tallahassee. And we start our Sunday morning services at 11:05. And yes, I will be preaching a message about resurrection. I remember one time, this has been years ago, when we used to have the sunrise services on the lawn at our 8th Avenue location. And I don't know where I was thinking that Sunday morning, but I preached a sermon at the sunrise service. I mean, I preached all about the cross and your traditional, typical Easter Sunday morning service. But during our regular service, I just had something else on my mind. And one of my beloved parishioners just came to me and just let me know, because this particular parishioner was involved in cooking the breakfast. And so was not at the early morning service. I was just told that I didn't get an Easter sermon this year. And he was disappointed. And I was disappointed that I had disappointed him. And I have made sure that that has not happened again in all the years that I have been pastoring and preaching about the things that happened on that day. And one of the things that always draws me is when I read about Gethsemane, because that is so much a part of the reality of what took place during this time. Because I have made the statement that I believe in my heart that Gethsemane is where the battle was won. Now, I don't take anything away from what Jesus went through and the cruelty and the suffering of his body. But it was in Gethsemane that he took on the devil. And the devil was doing everything he could to try to stop Jesus from going to that cross. And when you read about how that in agony he prayed and in such extreme stress that literally his body was perspiring blood. And here he'd gone to this place that he'd been to many, many times. It was a place of tranquility for him. It was a place that he often prayed and talked to the Heavenly Father. But knowing what he was about to experience, he took with him some very close friends. And if you read the Gospel of Mark especially, you'll find that those early disciples were very, very close to Jesus. And they had a place in his heart that I believe was very, very unique. And Peter, James, and John. And as you read the Gospel of Mark, you'll find that they were the first ones. And so he called them to go with him to Gethsemane, to pray for him and hold him up in prayer. Of course, we know what happened. They fell asleep. Jesus left in the middle of his time there to go out and check on them. And he found them asleep. And he said, could you have not prayed for me for 1 hour, just 1 hour, in this very difficult time? And but they had had this huge meal. I mean, this the Seder is, if you've ever been through one of those, you eat a lot of food. And it's just, they were just tired, and they just went to sleep. That's what your body will do. And so he goes back in, and he prays through. And then he comes back out, and they're asleep again. And he told them, he says, just go on, get your rest, because the time has come. And about that time, they saw the torches and the people coming through the garden, led by Judas. And I read about this account about Judas and what he did and how that he sold the Lord out for those 30 pieces of silver and how that I mean, he was the one. You have different people telling the story about the woman with the alabaster box. But it was Judas who said that we should take this and sell it and give the money to the poor. And so we know where his heart was. It wasn't in ministry. But what I find to be interesting is that when you read Luke's gospel, you'll find that after they said the next morning, when they saw Jesus, and I guess they were able to just get a glimpse of him as he began to take on the new day, and the appearance of him and the suffering he had gone through even during the night. He said Judas saw that and he repented. It's written in Scripture. He said it repented him. That's the way it says it. It repented him. And then he went and he tried to give the money back, and then he went out and he hung himself. And this reminds me of people that you've heard about, people that I've heard about, who they're on the outside looking in when it comes to faith. And a lot of times they'll see church people, and they'll become judgmental to church people because they think that the church people are judging them. And these people that I'm thinking of, they've done some bad things in their life. And because of that, they disqualify themselves when it comes to grace. In other words, they have determined that they would never deserve the forgiveness of God. And so as a result of that, they never come to Christ. They never accept Him as Lord and Savior because they assume that Jesus would not forgive them because their sin was too great. And I believe that's what Judas did. I mean, Judas did a horrible thing. He did a terrible thing. But there's a lot of people who've done terrible things that God has forgiven. And you might be that person that's listening to this. You're hearing this either all over the air or you're hearing it on a podcast. And you said, what? What's this preacher talking about here? What's he saying? But what I'm saying is that there is forgiveness for your sin. No matter what you've done, there's only one thing the scripture talks about that you cannot find forgiveness, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But most of you that's listening to this, and you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you didn't blaspheme God. You just made the decision that God would never, ever have anything to do with you ever again because of your past. And I'm just here to tell you that it's not true. That is not true according to Scripture. Scripture tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His mercy is everlasting. So I just want to tell you that you are not without hope. God has not given up on you. God has not abandoned you. He loves you. And if you will just be straight with Him, if you will just go to Him and say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Because I understand that Jesus Christ, your precious Son, went to the cross of Calvary. And there He died for my sins. He took my place. And I accept that. And I ask, Father God, that You would forgive me of my sins because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. Listen to Miss Loretta Lynn sing this beautiful old song. I just love that old song. I just do. And I don't know, it just seemed appropriate for her to sing it. And anyway, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, but wondrous attraction to me. Hallelujah. This is the Gospel on the Radio Talk Show. And I get to do this every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock here on 94.1. What a wonderful privilege this is to be able to bring the gospel through talk and a little music to go along the way. And I choose to play the Southern Gospel style. Then you say, well, Pastor King, why do you do that? And it's simply this. It's because I like it. I like it. That's what works for me. Now, I know there's others who will do shows, and they'll do more contemporary music, and perhaps maybe you can tune into one of those too. But I just like the style. I really do. You see, to hear a person like Loretta Lynn sing that song in her country style, well, that's me. I'm a country boy. Grew up in the country, and you just can't take the country out of the boy. That's just all there is to it. But I love the music. I love the instruments, but I love the words. Hallelujah. Speaking of that, I do a show on Saturday nights here on 94.1. It is called the Saturday Night Gospel Sing. And it's a full hour of Southern Gospel style music. And I just come here in my little studio and I just have a good time. I just do. I play music. I talk. I talk about my heart and my passion, the things that are important to me and what the songs say to me as I listen to the music and then the words speak to me. And then sometimes there'll be a theme that will seem to emerge from the different songs that I picked out that I had no intention of even trying to find a theme, and it just begins to minister to me. And Brother Doug Apple, the manager is at 94.1, and such a blessing to this show. You all don't know all that he does to make this possible. But he tells me sometimes toward the end of the show, I start to mellow out a little bit because I'm getting into it. It's speaking to me. And I would just pray that it does to others as well, that there's a presence that goes along with it. So anyway, that's Saturday night, 7 o'clock, here on 94.1. And unfortunately, that is not on the podcast. So you got to get it when it airs. Now, you can get it on air or you can get it on the internet. If you're out of town, just type in 94.1, Wave 94, Tallahassee. You'll find it. It'll come up. And you can listen to it wherever you may be, just wherever you are. If there's internet, you can listen to the Saturday Night Gospel sing. So just take advantage of that. And also, Monday through Friday here on 94.1, I do a daily broadcast, and that's a daily Bible teaching of the Word of God. We just get into the Word, and it don't take long. It's very quick. But a lot of people tell me that they use that as a devotional form in the mornings, and I'm happy that if that works for you, it just makes me happy. I get emails from all over the world. People listen to that broadcast, and they tell me they're tuned in and they're listening, and it's ministering to them. Thank God for that opportunity. And so, those are ways that you can listen to this old preacher on the radio, and. I tell you what, I love doing what I do. I have a passion for broadcasting and just bringing the gospel across these airwaves, wherever people may be. And when people can be blessed by music and by words that proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. As we continue to think about all that this day represents when it comes to the scripture. And we know that as Jesus hung on that cross, and the different writers of the gospels gives it to us from different perspectives. But they talk about these men on his right and on his left. And Luke refers to them as malefactors. Mark refers to them as thieves. And we don't necessarily know what it was that they did. There are some who speculate that they were involved with Barabbas. Barabbas was a known thief, and he was also a rebel rouser. And there have been those who have said, well, that cross was really intended for Barabbas, and perhaps that's true. But these men, they were a part of the scene, let's put it that way. I don't believe, from what I have read, that they had endured everything that Jesus had endured during his trial and the way they abused him and the whole thing of carrying the cross up the hill, all of that, I'm not sure. But nevertheless, they were condemned to die, and they were there on the cross. And one of them didn't understand it from any perspective of saying, if you are what you claim to be, and this is the one thief speaking to Jesus, if you are what you claim to be, then do your thing and take yourself off this cross. But the other one, there was what I've heard referred to as the activity of God. There's something happening here in the spiritual realm, in the heart of this man. And you see, this is the beautiful thing about grace, mercy, the forgiveness of God. How that God can look down from heaven and see this man hanging there on the cross and make a way for his forgiveness and for his salvation. See, that opportunity was there for both of them. I mean, this is such a direct contrast. It speaks so clearly to us. I mean, both men had the same opportunity. One chose to ask God to forgive them of their sins, and the other rejected him. That's the message. It rings so clear. All across the world, there are those who will reject the message of Christ. There are those who will receive him. All across the world today, there will be people who will make that choice one way or the other. There'll be people who will go to a church, and perhaps they'll be there because the wife really got on their case about it. And so today, instead of going fishing or hunting or watching sports, they drag out that suit that they had worn since last time they went to church when the wife made them. And they're going to go to church. And they'll hear the message of this day, the message of resurrection power, the message of the mercy and the love of God. And there'll be some who, you know, they'll get it. And the spiritual light will come on. Their spiritual eyes will become open, and they'll realize that even though I've heard this message for many, many years, I sit here in this church building on Easter Sunday, and it never registered before. But there's something happening today, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to that person, and he's coming to you and say, look, you don't know about tomorrow. You don't even know about the next moment. All you know is that for years and years I've rejected this message, and there's something different happening today. And I'm telling you, you need to open your heart to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. And that if you understand that, comprehend that, and if you'll ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save your soul, he will. And before this day is done, you will be a new creature in Christ. And you will have gone from hopelessness and despair to life and the joys of your salvation. You see, it's just like it was when those beautiful ladies who had so wonderfully ministered to Jesus over all those years, when all that time, and they traveled with him. They had been there to provide meals for him and the team. And many of them didn't fully understand everything that was happening here. But it says that on the day of his resurrection, the first day of the week, it says that before the sun came up, they were there at the tomb. And scripture tells us that Mary Magdalene, that woman who had seven devils when she first met Jesus, you talk about a woman who thought that it was hopeless for her. I mean, seven devils. But Jesus had cast them out. And that woman, she became very devoted to Jesus. And she was a part of the team. And scripture says that she was the first one to see him when they arrived at the tomb that morning. And the first one to realize that the tomb was empty. Jesus was not there, because what he had talked about and what he had promised had come true. He was alive, and he was not there. He was at the work that God had given him to do.
Jesus was gone, but she saw two angels in white.
I found Jesus alive.
For those of you who are listening on the podcast, the song was by Carol Robertson, and it says he found Jesus alive. And it talked about the ladies who came to the tomb that morning, and he wasn't there. And it talked about how that Mary was the first to see him. And I preached a whole sermon about that one time, because to me that's just a powerful thing. Here, this woman in her wretched state, seven devils. Like, I just can't imagine what that woman must have looked like. She must have been a frightening thing to see. And now her life totally changed and transformed. And this is what Brother Robertson says in the song. Maybe he's taking some liberties. I'm not sure. He says, she loved him more than the rest. I don't know whether that's true or not, but she loved Jesus. There's no doubt about that, because she saw the contrast in her life. And that's a message that I have been speaking here today on this radio broadcast, because there are people, as I've said, and you look at your life and it's a mess. I mean, I can just imagine some of the things that I could describe. This, perhaps maybe you woke up this morning and for whatever reason, God has you tuned into this radio broadcast. Maybe you didn't plan it, but somehow or another, you're out there and you're still out there. You haven't left, because there's something speaking to you. And that is the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And God is talking to you. God is telling you that he has not forsaken you. He loves you. And your past is over and done with. When you come to Christ and you accept him as your Lord and Savior and you ask him to forgive you your sins, Scripture says that his mercy will be extended, and his love and his grace, and he'll forgive you. And he says it'll be like your sin as far as the east is from the west. It'll be erased. It'll be gone. And forgiveness will be given. That's a message. That's a message from God, and you need to hear it. And if you say, well, Pastor King, I don't know what to do. It's really quite simple. You just get on your knees before God and just ask him to come into your heart. And then if you need to go a place to be ministered to, come to Freedom Road this morning, 1105. Or go to a church. There's churches just right down the road from our church. There's churches all over Tallahassee. Wherever you are, you may be listening all the way across the world. Find some believers somewhere. And just go. Just go. And just be among God's people. Because you are. You're part of the family of God. Hallelujah. What a beautiful, beautiful truth. And what a joy it is to be able to speak God's word behind this radio microphone and to bring you these truths from the word of God. You see, this story does not end. And I've shared snippets with you today from the four Gospels. But the story doesn't end. Luke, one of the writers of the Gospel, he wrote a whole book called the Book of Acts, where he's talking about the church and those early days of the church. Well, the Book of Acts has not finished. You know, one of the beautiful things about the church, it's full of people like Paul the Apostle, who was not an original member of the church. I mean, when Jesus Christ was alive, he was doing despicable things. And
when the early days of the church was being formed, he was taking Christians and he was dragging them into Jerusalem to stand trial. They were being killed. That's what he was doing. You talk about a person who was doing despicable things, but yet Jesus found him on the Damascus Road, and he became a leader of the church. And the church is full of people like that, that's leading the way because their eyes have been opened, and they understand now what they didn't understand before. And I just can't help but to believe that during the time of this radio broadcast, that there have been some new people who have come to Christ and have come, and you are restored to Him, and your life will be forever changed and transformed. And I believe that you will become one who will become His servant, and you love Him. You love Him like you've never loved anybody before. He's risen. He is risen. Yes, 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 yes. Amen. He rose victorious. He's living today. And I believe that with all of my heart. I really do. I believe that Jesus Christ, that He came to this earth, He became flesh, He dwelt among us, and He did what the first Adam did not do. He lived the sinless life, and He taught us, and His teachings are so wonderful, so glorious. And I have said this before, this is a matter of statement, that if somebody could convince me beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, I would continue to serve Him anyway, and I would continue to follow His teachings, because they are so sound, and the principles are so sound. And it's contrary to much of the course of the world, because Jesus talks about, He says, somebody compels you to carry a burden for a mile, you carry it for 2 miles. If somebody smites you on one cheek, you turn the other cheek and let them smite that too. I mean, mercy and forgiveness was what Jesus taught. And it's so contrary to the world, but just think about this. That if all the nations of the world would practice the teachings of Jesus, there would be no war. There would be no conflict. There would not be this killing of people all across the world, because everybody would understand the heart and passion of Jesus was forgiveness. Forgiveness, mercy, and grace. And that's what He was all about. This is what He taught. This is what He lived. And He even forgave those who tortured Him and did those horrible things to Him, the ones who put Him on that cross. He forgave them. He forgave them. And that's the message that resonates all across the world today is God. God so loved the world that He sacrificed Himself for all of humanity. And that's a message of peace. It's a message of peace. And there are people who are having conflicts in their lives, husbands and wives, or fussing and arguing with one another, and siblings fighting over heritages, and all of these things that are all very much a part of humanity. But if we applied the teachings of Jesus to forgive, then Just imagine all of the conflicts that could just be resolved because of a heart that surrendered to Him and surrendered to what He taught us and surrendered to the life that He lived before us. Then it would change so much in this world. And we would go from a world full of upheaval and a world that's so full of darkness to a world full of light and joy and peace. Can't you just imagine? Can't you just imagine what that would be like? So, Father God, is come to you this day, this Easter day, this glorious day of resurrection power. Father, I pray for this world. I pray for this world that's in such a mess. I pray, Father, for these families that are all torn apart. Father, I pray for these who are refugees from other countries and they're streaming across our borders here in America. Father God, I pray for them. And I pray, Father God, that this world that's in such a state, that the light and the love of Jesus would come forth. Father, we'd see the winds of revival just sweep across our land and watch our world change because of the power of His love and the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I pray today, Father, for each and everyone who's tuned into this broadcast today, Father God. I pray for those who perhaps have just now given their heart to Christ. Father, I pray for them. I pray for our pastors as they go to their pulpits today, Father God, let the message be powerful and that many would come to a saving knowledge of who you are. And Father God, I pray for peace in this world. And I pray for peace in Israel and in the city of Jerusalem. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless you.